Chapter 10. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And so evidently not only Pharaoh but his servants hated the truth. Otherwise God would not have eventually hardened their hearts as he said he did. Verse 2, And that you may tell in the ears of your son and of your son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord. Well, you see, God did not promise that he was going to give Moses' son and his grandson miracles like he did in Egypt. But the miracles that he did in Egypt were to be passed on. Word of them were to be passed on from generation to generation. And we don't always see signs and wonders. But we have the word of God, which tells us that God has done them, so that we know he is God. Verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. What's it going to take to get you to cry uncle, to get you to realize that the God of Israel is the one and only true God? When are you going to start obeying him? What's it going to take for you to obey God, Pharaoh? For else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locust into your coast or into your territory. Next plague up, locust. Devouring locust. And they'll do some damage. 5. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remains to you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. If there was anything left that the fire and hail did not destroy, the locusts are going to come in and clean it up. They'll take care of it. They'll finish it off. This country is going to look like the landscape of the moon by the time God gets through with them. And it's not just outside. Notice verse 6, And they shall fill your houses, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth to this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. So, locust in your homes, locust all over the place, and there will be no escape for Pharaoh. His only escape is to repent. And Moses didn't stick around. He turned his back on the king, and he walked out. And believe me, you didn't do that to a king in those days and live to talk about it normally. But Moses did it because God was with him, and he trusted the word of God. People must have been just appalled and aghast when they saw Moses turn his back on the king and walk out in front of everybody. Showed no respect for this man at all. And there's no reason to respect him because he didn't respect God. 7. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Know you not yet that Egypt is destroyed? So even now Pharaoh's servants are catching on. We can't win this battle, Pharaoh. You've got to let him go. You've got to let Moses and the Israelites go. 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Well, now, he's trying to get Moses to compromise again. You can go, in other words, but not all of you. That will be Pharaoh's message. 9. Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. In other words, everyone and everything that we own will be going. 10. And he said to them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. And he says in verse 11, not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. That's not what Moses said he desired. Pharaoh's trying to put words in the mouth of Moses and then get him to accept it. He's not going to buy that. Moses is delivering the word of God, and the word of God is clear. Let my people go. God never said, let my men go to worship me and leave everybody else behind. Moses isn't going to buy that. Pharaoh's trying to get Moses to compromise the word of God again. Come on, we can get along. You just don't be so stubborn. Don't adhere to every word of God. Come on, some of it's not that important. That's the message. That's what people do today many times. They water down the word of God. They take out the stuff that's offensive to people in order to get along with ungodly people, like Pharaoh. So here's God's response, verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locust, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail was left, even all that the hail has left. So that's God's response to Pharaoh's compromise. No way. 13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought in the locusts. Two things that move locusts, if I remember correctly. The wind and food, vegetation. Wasn't a whole lot of vegetation left in Egypt. Not enough probably to attract locusts in that direction, but God brought them in with the wind. And while they're there, they're going to devour whatever they can get their mouth on, their jaws on. And it says in verse 14, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Worst plague of locust ever. Right here. Verse 15. And that's saying an awful lot, because there have been even modern reports of locusts in Africa, that the cloud, the sky becomes as black as if there's a huge storm cloud in the area. And only it's not made of water vapor, it's made of locusts. And they completely devour whatever land they happen to be in. And so, as bad as it sometimes gets and has gotten, even in recent history, nothing compared to this. Notice what it says, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the fields through all the land of Egypt. Those locusts covered the entire country. The sky was black. It was like midnight. They were so thick. The light of the sun couldn't even get through. And they took care of every single green thing that was left. And that is why I said this country looked like the lunar landscape at this point. It was that bad. Verse 16, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Well, this one really shook him up. So he confesses that he has sinned against God. We'll see. Verse 17, now therefore, forgive, I pray you, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. In other words, you won't have to entreat him on my behalf again because I'm really changing. This time for sure. 18, and he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. Moses took Pharaoh at his word, gave him the benefit of the doubt. 19, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locust and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. Again, God showed Pharaoh that if he would repent, he would remove the judgment. And that should be the message that Pharaoh is catching on to by now. And in verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. He didn't want to let the children of Israel go. He wasn't going to stick to his word. He never did in the past. He wasn't going to now. And God, again, judicially hardened his heart after he had hardened his heart so many times. Verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. It's going to become so dark that you could hold your hand up right in front of your eyes and you wouldn't see it. You know, even on a dark night or in a dark room, you can usually see some light. But this is going to be so dark that they won't be able to see anything. And just watch what it says. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, a thick darkness. In other words, there was no light that could penetrate it. And notice what it says in 23, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And I don't know what that light is. Maybe the light of God, supernatural light. You know, he lit the world for a few days before he created the sun. Perhaps he provided that same kind of light in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were dwelling. But it was such a thick darkness in Egypt that the people didn't even want to move. They were afraid to move. They were afraid to move. It would be dangerous to move because they didn't know where they were going or what they were running into. And they could not see themselves, obviously. They couldn't see anybody else either. 24, and Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, you, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Pharaoh, you know, he is bargaining with God. Okay, now you can go. And he doesn't say anything about not going 3 days' journey. But he says, you leave your flocks and your herds here. You know, he's moving in the right direction, I suppose, little by little. Clearly not fast enough, but he just doesn't want to completely obey God. And believe me, if you don't want to completely obey God, then you're not obeying God. And he's not obeying God. God doesn't accept compromises. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's no wiggle room in there. 25, and Moses said, you must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. In other words, we got to take our animals along. 26, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come there. God hasn't told us in advance what he wants us to sacrifice to him. So we got to take everything. We got to be prepared for anything that he asks from us. Because we're not going to run back to Egypt and pick up the animals. We're not leaving anything behind, King. And 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Here we go again. 28. Pharaoh said to him, get you from me. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more. For in that day you see my face, you shall die. I don't want to see you anymore. I'm going to kill you the next time I see you. You think that has Moses worried? He's not worried. He's communing with the one true God. He is in fellowship with the God who is just beating the tar out of the Egyptians and their country and their gods, and no one is able to stop him. You think Moses is worried? I think not. Look at 29. Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will see your face again no more." Moses said, "That's where you want it. Fine with me." Moses is probably sick and tired of looking at Pharaoh's face. Sick and tired of dealing with him. Good. I hope this is over. Completely, I hope this is over. I don't want to talk to you anymore. That's what I would say. I've had it. Moses certainly isn't shook up.